That music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill. We do the segment every Friday where Dr. Deborah Stroman joins me to talk about the intersection of sports with the rest of our lives in a business way, in a social justice way, and many, many other aspects. She is a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor, former coach, former player, sports businesswoman extraordinaire, and of course, the host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill. Happy Friday, Deb. How's it going?
Things are going great. Excited to be on my annual excursion up to upstate New York, working the Grant Lake Sports Academy. And for those who are not familiar, it is a UNC product, I guess you could say. Bobby Gersten, who's now passed away. He was the oldest living men's basketball player. And he and friends and family members have just built this amazing camp, which is now over 104 years old. And I'm a part of the Girls Academy, which is now in its 12th year. And it is run by Rachel Millam, amazing lacrosse player at Cornell. And we have a group of more than 60 girls up here in the beautiful Brant Lake area, playing sports and competing and emphasizing sportsmanship. So it's just a great trip every year.
It sounds like it is a delightful setting. And I always loved summer camps as a kid. So this time of the year, my mind definitely goes to all of the fun that folks are having out there at different summer camps. And Deb, we talk very often about kind of the business side of sports and the ups and downs that it can bring. But when you go to this camp each year, how does it kind of remind you of how special sports can be and the enrichment it brings specifically to young people as they're growing and developing in their lives?
Absolutely. In fact, this is the age of innocence right now. We've got young ladies, I guess you could say the lowest grade is about going into fifth grade on up to high school. And then we've got junior counselors and then we have counselors and they come from all over the world, actually. So it's kind of nice to have this variety of accents taking place, but it is innocent. And as much as, you know, all of us as coaches, as directors, there's no doubt we played sports at elite levels and we want to win with the best of them. But we try to emphasize learning and skill development. And in fact, I share with them that today the pressure is for a lot of young athletes to just focus on one sport all year round. And we are believers that that is unhealthy mentally and physically. We want our best basketball players. We want our best soccer players. We want our best volleyball, lacrosse, tennis to play multiple sports while you're here at camp. You want to develop the different muscle groups. You want to see what it's like to be a leader versus being someone who's a role player on a team. So it is very, very innocent. And it's a lot of fun, very competitive. But again, we try to bring out the awesome side of sports that teaches teamwork and discipline and collaboration.
That sounds delightful. Really just a time to push yourself to grow, to build all of those friendships and team spirit and teamwork. And it's a great way before the business side kind of kicks into effect. And I do want to turn to that because we have some pretty big sports business here. And, you know, a lot of college sports, a lot of that stuff still carries over. But when we know that people are making decisions at the tip top of college sports, it's often with money in mind. And that is, once again, what people are discussing today. As just yesterday, Deb, the University of Colorado continued the latest kind of conference realignment dominoes and shakeups as they voted to leave the Pac-12, going back to the Big 12 conference effective in 2024. The Pac-12 continues to see teams drop. A reminder that USC and UCLA, both of those California schools, left the Pac-12 for the Big 10. That is also going to be effective in 2024. The first big domino, again, was actually people leaving the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC. So Colorado now the latest school to join this. And of course, Deb, Colorado is already in the headlines for Deion Sanders being their new head football coach. I actually kind of want to start there. Do you think that Colorado would have made this move if they hadn't just made this big step up in terms of profile for their college football program, hiring Deion Sanders as their head coach?
I'm not sure on that, but one thing we do know for sure is that Deion Sanders brought, I would say, global attention to Colorado, to the Buffaloes. And so with that being said, you want to maximize that. You want to maximize that asset. But the Pac-12 has been leaking for a number of years. And when it comes to men's basketball, you know, people talk about how they just don't deliver quality product. You know, what is going on out west? Because there's no doubt there are amazing athletes in these western, quote-unquote, states. But for some reason, they don't always show up in great numbers like the South and the Deep South do in the Final Eight and the Final Four. Gonzaga is this unique, unique school that's been able to do it. Coach Mark Few with a small program, similar to like a Villanova. But other than that, they're just not consistent players. And then when we think about football, definitely just basically absent. Now, Oregon has the Nike money, Phil Knight. He's equipped just about every team there, anything you could possibly want, luxury NBA, NFL type facilities. So they've shown up on the national stage over the past decade, but still consistently the entire league is just not known as a big time winning conference. And because of that, they haven't been able to get a great media contract. Now, I did see in the news that with this change, with Colorado exiting as well, they are negotiating now another media rights package. But if you just don't have the product and you can't win consistently, sponsors, advertisers, you know, will choose plan B. They just won't go there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad, but it's also an opportunity to do something new and create something that will work for that, you know, those schools in that part of the country.
Yeah, and it's, again, an important reminder that when these conference decisions are made, when schools are moving conferences, 90%, if not 100% of the time, the idea is football and men's basketball, the revenue-generating sports. And often that, it's just football. I mean, the Pac-12 has some really good history when it comes to Stanford. I mean, they just won the Director's Cup. They're incredibly good at a lot of Olympic sports, but those are not the sports that bring in the big money. And to your point, Deb, too, have the media rights sponsorships that people are tuning into so frequently in massive numbers and that make a really big difference for the conference. And so Colorado, you know, at one point left the Big 12 to join the Pac-12, thinking that that was going to be where that new money was going to be, all of these other Western schools gathering together. And now they move back as the Big 12 is joining together. And it's just I still struggle because I think of conferences regionally. But I mean, with USC and UCLA now joining teams that are largely in the Midwest and Northeast, and the Big 12, which used to be a Midwest conference. Yes, Colorado sort of fits into there too, but they've got Cincinnati and University of Central Florida now and there. The regionalism of conferences is just completely askew.
I would also say we're moving towards phase three, which is really going to be the haves identifying their best buddies, and they're going to work. I'm sure they're working on it now, but how can we create the super conference of those who do have a great tradition, great fan base that will travel, that has the type of product, that has athletes that people want to see on the next level on Sundays, and certainly in the NBA. So I still see that's in the work. It's probably going to come sooner than later. But all these schools who feel that they want to keep up with the Joneses and they continue to spend, but the product is not worthy, I can't see them doing this forever. Eventually, the brighter minds, hopefully, in the chancellor, in the president's offices will say, we've got to stop this. This is just not making sense when we think about the holistic student, the holistic athlete, just spending and spending, trying to keep up. Now, having the expansion of the college football playoff is going to help some of these teams, as in it's going to be another carrot that's dangled, like, hey, now there's 8 slots, now there's 12 slots, now there's 16 slots. We're going to have a chance. But eventually they will be weeded out as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, along those lines of trying to figure out that new course and joining together, the buzz has been, the one conference that largely has not been affected is the ACC. And the buzz has typically been, well, ACC has pretty good, they've got some schools that have really high academic standards, not quite like the Big Ten. And the Pac-12 has a couple of schools that have really high academic standards, really high athletic standards. And so everybody's kind of linking those two for partnership. But again, the regionalism is just so off. One is literally the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the other is a conference on the West Coast. And we heard the ACC commissioner kind of address this before the Colorado news really came down the pike at ACC kickoff, the football media event happening this week in Charlotte, Deb. Jim Phillips said, you know, expansion doesn't seem to be worth it right now. We've explored it, but it doesn't seem to be necessarily worth it for us, which is one of those where you hear it and it goes, well, maybe it makes sense to just try and keep everything stable. But do you think that the ACC should be still looking at that just to make sure that they're keeping up with everybody else?
Well, this is the type of organization where the commissioner can say one thing, and the athletic directors and the presidents can say and do another thing. So as much as he wants to, and he has to use the language, all for one, unity, ACC, tradition, we've got a good product. There's no doubt that the schools that are being recruited, the schools that can leave, that have the money to actually leave and pay exit fees, or has such a relationship with a media rights company that they would help pay the fees to exit, that's happening. And, you know, there's no doubt that North Carolina is in the top three, if not number one. We've got Virginia that's attractive, Clemson because of their football. There are certain schools that other conferences want. And then you've got the wild card of Notre Dame, which kind of, you know, dips their big toe in the ACC when it's convenient for them, but then does their own thing with the football. So it's happening. There are talks that are happening. I'm hoping that our league stays the same. In fact, I would love for it to even shrink, but in a good way. But there's no doubt that these talks are taking place.
Well, one final note here, one change that the conference is indeed making is that they are moving their headquarters to Charlotte, North Carolina, where the ACC kickoff has been held the last couple of years and was held this year for the first time since that announcement has been made that they'll be moving from Greensboro to Charlotte. And we talked about this in the past, but now that we're about a year removed from that decision, how do you feel about that at this point, Deb, the ACC moving its headquarters from Greensboro to Charlotte?
Well, I'm old school, you know, born and bred ACC going back to the 70s. So I love the hometown feel of Greensboro. And of course, it's not that far away. But I understand the business side of this. There is no doubt that the action is in Charlotte. The airport, the corporations that are there, considered the banking capital of our nation. And they want to be where big business is. And, you know, the arena size. I don't know if anybody could ever beat Greensboro's hospitality tournament town for all that they do for ACC basketball. But from a business standpoint, Charlotte has to be the spot. Very uncomfortable for employees and staff who've had to make the tough decision to go or to stay or to leave. I know wonderful administrator Kevin Best came back home to North Carolina. He left North Carolina to work at the ACC, and I know he's back home with the Tar Heels. And that's a tough decision for people because you're talking about family and friends. But in terms of business, Charlotte's the spot.
Yeah, well, it is just kind of one minor move in what is at the moment a big, big shifting of sands when it comes to the college sports landscape and the conferences out there. In the meantime, we're going to let you get back to summer camp and go focus on the fun side of sports for a little bit. Deb, thanks so much for joining us on this wonderful Friday, and hope to talk with you again soon.
Thank you. Go Heels.